Good morning, I'm Michael Lyon. That's the music of Hairspray. You're listening to Good Morning Baltimore, and that's coming to the Omaha Community Playhouse beginning tomorrow, running through June 24th. And it is a pleasure to have with me the music director of the Playhouse this morning, Jim Bogus. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Michael. How nice to see you.
It's great to see you, too. And we've been involved musically one way or another for some time back. But it's great to actually take a look inside what happens in a play like this. Now, this goes back several years. Frequently, a musical will come from a movie, or a musical will be turned into a movie. This is a little bit different because it started out, Hairspray, that is, as a 1988 John Waters film,
yeah.
Along his, you know, with his line of cult films, became a play and then became a movie again.
Right. The John Waters film Hairspray was in 1988. It actually, I look at it as his first crossover film, because before that he did a lot of things like Female Trouble, Desperate Living, Pink Flamingos, all very, very cultish and very, very outré, shall we say. And his lead was Divine, who was a drag queen, and she was absolutely fantastic, always terrific. Anyway, Hairspray really became a big hit as a movie.
It was Waters actually flirting with the mainstream.
Flirting with the mainstream, and you know, people who did some of those cameos? Cher, Pia Zadora. You know, he had lots of cult icons in there that just kind of showed up. You know, that it was a wonderful movie. Anyway, it was a big success, and then Mark Shaiman, the guy that that writes the music for Smash, he and, oh God, what's the other guy's name? I forget. Oh, I should have brought a piece of paper. But anyway, they wrote this really fabulous score. It was their idea to do a musical of Hairspray. It was produced, I believe, in 2002 on Broadway, and it was a tremendous hit, and certainly for all the right reasons, because it's just a great show. It's a wonderful score, and it at its heart it has such a generous heart, because at its core it's about two things. It's about integration, and it's about loving yourself for who you are.
It's really a very interesting story, isn't it? Let's talk about that story a little bit.
Well, it's about it concerns the Turnblads, Edna and Wilbur, the mother and father, and Tracy, their daughter. Edna is a very large woman who hasn't been out of the house since 1951. Tracy is a large teenager. She takes a lot of guff for it. Edna is played by a man. In our production, he's played by Jim McCain. Who is absolutely wonderful.
And that's become fairly traditional. John Travolta had that role in the most recent movie. Yeah, that was the role originally.
Oh, it's always been played by a man. Oh, it's always been played by a man. And that in its own way is a tribute to Divine, because that's something that they didn't want to change. And it works beautifully. It really, really works well. Tracy is played by Easton Yates, who I had not worked with before, but who is just sensational as Tracy. Wilbur, the father, is played by Jerry Van Horn, who I've worked with many times and adore. But at any rate, Tracy wants to get on the Corny Collins show, which is Baltimore's answer to Dick Clark. And the woman who runs the show doesn't want to let her on because she's fat. She doesn't look like everybody else. She's not a cardboard cutout. And this takes place in like 61, 62. So it's back when, you know, that was, I mean, things were pretty cut and dried. So so there's a problem there. And eventually Tracy does get on the show, much to the horror of Velma, the producer of the show, and her daughter Amber, who is running for Miss Teenage Hairspray 1962.
And she then proceeds to steal Amber's boyfriend?
Well, actually, as it turns out, Tracy actually ends up with Amber's boyfriend. And he becomes more interested in her than Amber because he realizes that Amber is sort of this all-surface, blonde-haired person. And Tracy may be a big girl, but she's really, really interesting, and she's a lot of fun.
Let's listen to one of the songs from that show, Big Blonde and Beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Wow. What an act one closer. It's fantastic. Kathy Tyree is playing Motormouth Maybell, which is the role that you're hearing right now. Now, if you haven't heard of Kathy Tyree before, you've obviously had your head firmly stuck in the ground. She's probably the best soul singer I have ever heard in Omaha or surrounding area. She's tremendous. The woman is a force of nature. She comes on at the end of Act One as Motormouth Maybell, who runs a black African-American radio show, and she's a disc jockey. She has a son named Seaweed, who has fallen in love with a white girl. Big no-no back then. And she says in this song, I'm big, blonde, and beautiful, and I have no regrets about who I am or what I am. And Kathy comes on and starts to sing this song, and something very funny happens to me and to the orchestra, because it's so, when she sings, it's so visceral, it's so arresting, it's so meaningful. She knows the meaning of a lyric and she knows how to sing it.
So you start feeling the groove.
It's more than feeling it. It's like you're living it. You know?
We've got about a minute left, so I want to just let folks know that website for more information is omahaplayhouse.com. Hairspray at the Omaha Community Playhouse, beginning tomorrow, running through June 24th. And I'm speaking with Jim Boggess, who is the music director. In that minute or so that we've got left, Jim, I know that your job as a music director is somewhat different than a stage director, mm-hmm. who's working with, let's have people move here in who works them with them on the nuances of their performance, mm-hmm. But in many ways, while you're directing music, you're also directing the dramatic action to some extent, aren't you?
I believe so. Yes, I always think that in musical comedy and in opera, the singing is just acting on a pitch. It grows out of the dialogue. It's a good musical makes sense dialogue-wise, going right into the lyric. And I try to teach my singers that the lyric is the most important thing. Some of the greatest singers I've ever heard in my life didn't really have a great range, but they knew what they were talking about. And that's the kind of singing that really gets me where I live. So yes, I have to be in sync with what the stage director is doing and what his or her vision may be, but you know, yeah, that's my job.
Jim Boggess, thanks so much.
I've had a wonderful time. Thank you, Michael.
Pleasure to have you here. I'm Michael Lyon for Events Calendar.
God bless you.